Welcome to the latest episode of The Grower and The Economist. I'm Michelle Klieger, The Economist.
And I'm Peter Kanjoyan, The Grower.
Each week, we team up to tackle the biggest challenges facing small and medium-sized growers. We're one part grower and one part economist, just like your business. Welcome to this episode of The Grower and The Economist. Today, Peter and I will be talking about return on investment and thinking about big purchases in your business. This came about because while I don't have a farm, I do occasionally have large purchases for my business, and I have been debating a big choice recently. So I kind of wanted to take a different approach, and I would be the case study and kind of talk through as an economist how I think about these types of decisions.
I think it's an excellent idea. When you sent me the email, Michelle, I got pretty excited saying just what you did. This is going to be fun now to let you serve as the case study. We've done that on my side for a couple of years now with various projects. So yeah, it sounded really exciting. You got all kinds of options. So let's go.
So the case study that I'm presenting today is I have a contract right now for some data collection and research work. And I'll just kind of talk in round numbers to kind of make sense of it all. And so let's say that the contract is for $20,000. I have to collect and synthesize all this information and write a report. And the contract also had a good amount of overhead in it. The client wants to have a lot of meetings, and I had to file some extra business paperwork and take on some extra insurance. So it's already kind of an expense. It's not the most profitable contract, but, you know, even taking, you know, why I decided to do this anyway was it's working with people I want to work with again. I do think that it will be profitable in the end. But any kind of contract where I get to call a lot of people and talk to people and learn about the industry more is just super valuable to me, interesting to me. And so I decided to go forward with this, even though there was a lot of overhead and pieces to it. So now I'm a couple months in, and I'm just having a hard time finding the data I need. And I found a service last week, and the service was potentially going to have a lot of this information for me. And I, you know, talked to the salesperson, and he said it's going to be $6,000. I was like, well, that's a lot more than what I was looking to spend. And your entry level is going to give me access to 5,000 contacts. Like, I can run 5,000 searches and I really only need 500. So like the base level is way more robust than I need. So I can't make it cheaper. And now eat up over a quarter of the entire budget. And so I've been thinking about the different ways that you can look at this decision. And that is when I emailed Peter. Yeah. Are there any other background information I should include before I start talking about some of the thought processes?
Well, for my ears, Michelle, you know, being the non-economist in this team, is the discussion this morning focused a little bit more on what the benefits are to spending the $6,000, or is it a bigger conversation about the whole contract? Are we just looking at your decision, should I spend six, and what do I get for the six?
I would largely say it's going to be the six, and because I can't go back on the contract, right? I've already signed it. So what the terms of the contract are sort of a sunk cost fallacy, right? If the contract isn't big enough or something like that, like I can't change that. I'm in it. So I guess part of it is specifically this purchase. And I think that it kind of bleeds into the rest of the contract when I'm thinking about, can I fulfill this contract without this data? And is it good enough? Like, will my results be strong enough that the client would be happy? And so those are sort of the non-ROI pieces that I'm going to bring in.
Okay, so can I draw an analogy and kind of bring in some of our previous episodes? Am I oversimplifying it by saying, okay, I hear what you're saying. You've got that contract and now you're thinking about spending the six. I had the greenhouse and was thinking about spending a similar amount, in my case, $8,000 for the energy curtain. So to me, it's kind of a very parallel conversation. And if you're shaking your head yes, then I'm it's going to be easier for me to tune into what you're saying. And essentially, we're going to talk, one layer is going to be, what's my return on investment for spending the six for all this data? And I'm thinking you're going to be talking about opportunity cost with this, right? So if I'm kind of on board and walking side by side with you, please proceed. We're doing good.
I think you are, because the similarities are, one, you already have the greenhouse. And so now you're trying to make the best of the situation. And so then the questions are, do you have enough things lined up? Like, will the energy savings pay for itself, which is a true ROI? And then sort of some of the things we talked about moving forward are, how else can you use the energy curtain that you might not have before? So it might not be directly tied to this decision, but it does open new opportunities. And that's where I get with this data set. So the true ROI, like, will I save money on my fuel costs enough to pay for the $8,000 energy curtain? In my case, is, what is my hourly rate? How long would it take me to look for all of this data without the data set? And how much time am I going to save? If the amount of time I'm going to save times my hourly rate, or the research assistants that are going to help me, times the cost of finding the data, more than $6,000, then this should be an obvious yes. If I'm going to save a lot of time or subcontract cost, then the $6,000 is easy, right?
Yeah.
That is how I'd make the decision. And isn't that how you thought about the energy curtain? Will my energy costs be lower?
Exactly. So one of the details that you mentioned with this opportunity to purchase the data or access to the data, that flat fee brings up to 5,000 contacts. You only need a tenth of that, 500. Early on, at this point in the conversation, that's almost a moot point, right? It's like, am I going to spend $6,000 to acquire that 500 pieces of or data points? So I'm thinking you almost have to put out of your mind that I'm overpaying for the 500. It's like there's no choice to get the 500 and then compare that six to what you were just describing, multiply the number of hours for you.
Yeah, so that's the first thing. But, right, so taking where you said you multiply the hours, what if the hours... So I think that there's a couple other places that you can get value. And so that's where the question comes after the specific return on investment. Like, I know with the number of hours, and I spent 10 hours on Monday in a free trial trying to figure out how much time it would save me if I bought this data set. So if I could figure out the number of hours saved, or if I could estimate, that might make the decision for me. Well, but let's say I multiplied the number of hours out and it's going to save me $3,000. So now I have a couple extra questions. So thinking about starting with those extra contacts, I have the data for a year. I've now finished this contract. I've used my 500 contacts. I still have 4,500 left. What else can I do with that? What other contracts can I take on because I have that data? What other contracts can I improve because I have that data? Like right now, that data will be the sunk cost. I've already paid for it, but if I can use it anywhere else, it'll continue to pay for itself.
So if you were to do that, Michelle, would you then take that part of the 6,000 out of this contract in terms of how you're accounting for things and then assign it more to general overhead of your business or to the next contract that you might?
Yes. My partner and I have been having this conversation. And sort of where we landed was, for right now, the idea would be to put it on this contract. Like, I don't have anything else that really needs this, or until I prove I have something else that really needs it, I would put it on this contract. I think that if I found over time that it was really useful, next year I might apply it to overhead because I understand how I'm going to fit it in to the business. I also think that when I was writing future contracts, if I knew I was going to use this data, I might put a cost in that contract.
Yep.
But for purely like where I am now, I think that it's kind of misleading to put it into overhead because I don't have enough other places. Is kind of where I landed. Like, I'm doing it, like, this project was the impetus, and this project could afford it. It means I will probably make very little money on this contract, but, like, this, it's not going to be in the hole, right?
Yeah.
And I guess I'd rather show a lower project rate on this project than show less profitability overall.
You know, I'm enjoying hearing you think out loud and knowing that it's a real life. As you're talking, Michelle, my thoughts are going toward a bit of advice I always offered my undergraduate students when I was in university world. And that was, don't ever hesitate to gamble on yourself, to invest in yourself. And I'm almost hearing a side of this is, can I use this or treat it as an investment in myself and my business that's going to pay a dividend later? Yes, there's a risk and a gamble that I may not use it. So I'm smiling, thinking, all right, this is an opportunity for Michelle to spend some money in her business. It's like putting money in the bank. And then, you know, whatever the interest rate is, it might be a contract coming up next year and it really pays off. Or, you know, the old legal phrase pro bono, where you may be exercising this contract and not making a profit on paper. But it's to me, it's like whenever I buy a tool, I'm investing in that tool. I may have purchased it for one job that I'm going to use it for one day or 1 hour, but I know I have that in the toolbox for any time in the future. This is cool.
Exactly. Well, the next thing that I've been thinking about is not just, you know, this time savings, but do I end up with a product that's better? So does my report look better because I've found these contacts and I've been able to do these interviews and I've been able to put real quotes in it? Or when I'm looking at, I've been, again, trying to think of other ways that I can use it. And so a couple people have approached me about wanting to cure their own jerky. And like, what is the market of that? And so when I had this free trial, I put it in and there are 1,211 people that are listed as jerky makers in the United States. Picked a couple of the states that people have called me from. And I'm like, well, there are, you know, 15 other jerky producers. Like, how much beef jerky do people want? And how much like local to Massachusetts or, you know, New Mexico or whatever it is, do they want? And so does being able to say, this is a competitive market. there are other people here. Like, I've looked them up. They've been in business this long. Does that detail make a report that I've already worked on good enough that you will hire me again? Does it make you a happier client? And does that, I mean, because, right, I'm not going to be able to necessarily quantify that that data point is what, you know, made you happy and refer to me or use me again. But if it adds to the overall, and that's when I think it gets pushed into overhead, because now I'm kind of using it all the time. And a kind of like the energy curtain, right? Does it reduce the chance that the plants get too cold and you get a, you know, they get damaged and they hurt your experiment? Like, the fact that you ran a cleaner experiment, it's hard to quantify and it doesn't necessarily fit into ROI, but it's a value of the energy curtain.
Looking at this one instance and this one choice that you have to make, to me, it's turning into an easy decision, in that as an entrepreneur, you are building your own brand. You know, you've been very gracious in helping me understand what I'm trying to create in my new website. Let me flip that back over toward you. So you're building and creating your reputation. You're a generation or part of a generation behind me. So you're still on that hockey stick rise in terms of getting yourself out there and your reputation. Part of me says, okay, I'm going to do anything I can to differentiate myself. And if it is over delivering on certain contracts so that I get my name out there, then again, that's an investment I'm making in myself and my business. I think it would be a little stickier. It'd be more complicated if you brought to this conversation, well, I have three opportunities to spend money that would apply to this contract. Which of the three am I going to, right?
Yeah. Well, and I guess it then, you know, sort of my problem was kind of the opposite. I got to this point because I did have people that were supporting me on this, and between holidays and other, you know, the contract got delayed and then there were the holidays in the middle. The research support I had ended up being able to commit a lot fewer hours. And so now, one, I'm trying to make up the time and my rate is more expensive. So like that ROI comes in quickly. And two, it's not really work I love doing. And so to sit down and do it isn't enjoyable. And so I have been trying to, you know, think through what can I do that's less painful for myself and what leaves time to do other work, either that I enjoy more or is more profitable. But like I said, it's a sunk cost. I've signed this contract. And part of the reason was because the other people on the team I really wanted to work with. And I think it's a good opportunity to build my brand and to get more work. And so I have to do a good job. And like, what that's sort of pushing, right? It's one of those places where you drive innovation. When prices are high, it drives innovation. Suppliers are trying to figure out how to get into the market. Consumers are trying to figure out what they can do to bring the prices down. And so I'm a little bit in that place where like I have limited resources and I want to do this. And so maybe I hadn't considered this database before, and it actually was only top of mind because I have a colleague who uses it all the time, and was like, this is a good resource. And so it kind of started those wheels. And that's another, I guess, place where I would put that as a win. If I move forward with this database and I'm able to leverage it in the future and it turns out to be a really good decision, that's a win that came out of this potentially small contract that, you know, I wasn't sure it was worth it, but it doesn't get factored in the ROI, but it's a benefit.
That's how I'm seeing it. I'm seeing this as an opportunity. And when you said a moment ago that you don't love doing that part of this, you know, digging out the data, that to me, you know, light bulbs are flashing in my head. A lot of growers don't necessarily enjoy that hand watering every day. It just eats up hours. And when we're talking about return on investment for drip irrigation or something, and then you're helping in a conversation like that, saying, well, it's not just the ROI, Peter, it's also the opportunity cost. I'm able now to do other things. Now you're looking in the mirror on this conversation.
Right. Well, and the same with the watering, right? You need reliable help, and it's not always the easiest job to fill. And it is a job that requires skills. You can't just throw anybody in. And so the reduced dependency on that is also important.
Isn't it fun when you have a topic where analogies fit so cleanly and so easily in this? And yes, we're purposefully going through this conversation in the episode. So tongue in cheek, I'm going to say, you're the economist. To me, I'm spending that $6,000. And I'm going to say to you, don't overthink this, lady. You know, just let's just go ahead and do it. Because I think I also heard early in your comments, there's a layer of this that revolves around networking and meeting people and working with people. And you're at that stage in your career where you're still growing and nurturing your network. And this would fit nicely into that, I think.
Yeah. No, for sure. And I guess it's important to point out my partner, one of the things she's asked is, well, do you need it? Like, if there are other people doing similar projects and you've asked around and nobody else is using this data set and they're fulfilling the contract, like, do you need it, right? Is it necessary? And is it at this price point? Is it an investment that, like, I guess makes sense? If it's not a requirement and it was only a couple hundred dollars, like, you might consider throwing it in because it looks nice. But the expectation isn't that you're going to get every one of these details. So why are you putting that expectation on yourself when it has a significant cost?
Yep. Now, another angle of this, you and I are both entrepreneurs in the private sector. We both have a toe or have had our toes in the academic or public sector. So is this a fair question for me to ask? Well, if you don't access this kind of information or database, are you falling behind your academic colleagues who are researching in these same arenas, whom you may be competing with for contracts like this? I'm assuming that most of your academic colleagues have this or even more robust at their fingertips.
No, that's a valid question. That's an interesting point for sure. And it's not just at your academic, right? If you just think of an academic as any big institution, I mean, not even institution, like any big business. So, like, it's not something as a small business I might regularly have access to, but, you know, some of the other firms that I compete against that are 20 or 30 people, they're not a university, but they're big enough that they have it. And how do you, I mean, that's an interesting point too.
Yeah. So let me draw another analogy and build on the tool thing a bit. I'm very fortunate that my lovely bride of 40 something years has never, ever questioned a tool that I've invested in, because she understands that any of this do-it-yourself around the house where we're getting at half price, because very generally, you know, if you have somebody come to do a job for you, half is materials, half is labor. So I've been very lucky. There are a couple of times where I felt that I've been straddling a line. Do I need this or do I want this? And there are a couple of times where I've, more recently, as I'm getting older, Michelle, I'm saying, well, you deserve this. If you want this tool, just, you know, make sure that you're going to use it two or three times. When I bought my first miter saw 30 years ago, back then it was, it cost me $150. And I would report to my wife every time I used it. First time I used it, I said, this piece of molding, this cut cost me $150. The next time I make a cut, that price drops to $75 a cut. So let's see how low I can get this with the use. And I, a couple of years ago, upgraded, but that thing served me for almost 30 years. Back on track here with your situation, I'm seeing a big picture coming into focus in this conversation, and I'm almost thinking that it's a done deal. I'm almost thinking, or I'm guessing that if I had $5 to put on a table right now, I would bet that you're going to spend that money and acquire those data points. And then you're inventive enough, industrious enough, that you're going to find a way to make that pay later on down the line.
Well, thank you. No, it's fun. And I appreciate matching it up with the energy curtain. I think that, you know, one of the things we all think we're special, or our businesses are special, or we have these problems that no one can understand. And making a big business purchase is the same, or has similarities, no matter what type of business it is. And it's fun to have both of us bring a situation that are very similar and talk through it. And hopefully our listeners can, you know, model that. They can see how this, they can see something, a decision they've made recently, and how it is very similar to the energy curtain, or to the data set, or to a new tool. Like, we all use them. And these are the types, these are the different ways that you can think about it. It saves time. It makes a better product. It opens me up to new business.
Well, a moment ago, you talked about the beef jerky project, or that little exercise. And when you first said beef jerky, I started smiling, and I was thinking, you know, am I going to make some kind of a wisecrack over this? But as I bit my tongue two sentences into that part of your conversation, I said to myself, it doesn't matter. You know, this is the old economics where they use the term, the words widgets and gadgets, or whatever they were when they're discussing economic principles. So it didn't matter whether it's an energy curtain or your contract for data or beef jerky. These are all the same principles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think I threw in beef jerky as an example just because it's different than what we normally talk about. But it works with flowers too, right? If if you want to be a specialty something in your area and it's popular right now, it might be super lucrative. But if there's six others in a 100-mile radius, are there enough people to buy it all?
Yeah. So is it a fair question for me to ask if you've made your decision on this?
I don't know. You've sort of talked me into it.
It's not my money.
Well, let's put it this way. So I did the free trial, and I wrote up because the challenge was, it's just hard to find information about small businesses. So before you built this website, Peter, if I was looking for, you know, greenhouse advice or consulting or something like that, like, it would be hard to find you. Don't have a website. You've probably filed business documents with the state, but like, they only say your address. They don't say a phone number or an email address. And even in a business database, like the one I'm looking at, if you don't have a @business email address, so like mine is @strategerm, it won't show up. So if you have an @Gmail, it won't show up. And so thinking about you or other small businesses I work with, I'm like, how many of these people are going to show up in this database that now I'm paying for? So I did a free trial, and I like wrote out the statistics when I was done. I like frantically went through as many contacts as I could trying to figure out if it was worth it. And so, you know, of my 500 contacts, it had 400 of them. Those 400 took me 3.5 hours to search through. It might have been quicker if I wasn't on the trial, because I could have downloaded it instead of, like, you know, making a note of which contacts were available. 150 had phone numbers, 100 had email addresses, 150 people had contacts, and only 88 had contact information for specific people. And so, like, now the question is it worth it for, like, I would now get 88 phone numbers or email addresses that I don't have right now. And is that enough?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, is that a representative sample of what I'm going to run into the future?
Yeah.
I guess, like, that was helpful. And I think that that's where your data on energy curtains might come in. Like, I could get a free trial because it was a data set on the computer, but you can't get a free trial with installing an energy curtain. But, you know, talking to people or reading your research on the benefits kind of gives you more of those details, so you're making an informed decision. So
yeah.
I did invest some time this week trying to make a more informed decision, and that's where I'm at. Like, now that I know it has 25% to 50% of the information I was really looking for, is that helpful enough?
Yeah. Let I may have or we may have buried the lead in this conversation. So let me ask a question that I should have asked earlier, or I didn't hear you describe it. Is this an annual fee or a one-time?
It's
okay,
annual.
That changes my...
It does.
It yeah.
Because you were talking about tools and how you've had the MITRE saw for a really long time. So this would be annual.
Okay, so then... It's January, you're under the gun. How much can I use this in other projects this calendar year?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, but I would say that my dad is in a similar place that you are. Like, look, you've made a lot of valid points. Like, you've covered the cost for this year. Like, why not take the year and see what you can do with it?
Yeah.
Like, could you sell it to other people? Could you use it in other places? And can you figure that out without either having the data or the pressure of knowing that you paid for it, right? That bill makes a lot of incentive to work harder, yeah, and keeps it top of mind.
Okay, so let's see if this is also analogous. What just popped into my mind is I've had many opportunities over my career and life to rent equipment or tools. And that's like, you know, analogous to this annual thing that you have to pay this every year if you want to do it. Or if I'm going to use a cement mixer or a jackhammer. So, and my dad brought me up, and I think your dad, we are in the same generation. My dad brought me up, if you can do it yourself, do it. You and I have covered that for years on this podcast. But he also instilled in me this the value of having tools and having your own tools. So I would automatically, I will buy a tool, as I said a few minutes ago, even if I'm not going to, it might be cheaper for me to go rent it for a day, but I like having that tool. That I might be a little spoiled by saying it this way, but I know that it's here if I need it again. And if, okay, anyway, very interesting.
Well, I guess taking it, because my dad also hates subscription anything. Like, it's just, why can't I own it? Why? And he thinks it's always a lease. Why do I have to lease this? I just want to own it. Tell me how much it costs. And I get that. But for this, it's contact information and stuff for businesses. Businesses change all the time. So in a year from now, how outdated is it? Like, part of that fee I'm continuing to pay for is that somebody else is making sure that I'm getting the best information always.
Yes. Yep.
Like, in a year from now, it's not worth the same amount to me, because now half the, especially with small businesses, half of them have gone out of business or moved or been sold or something. So now I've kind of got useless data. So I'm okay with it being a subscription, but I get that changes the math a little bit.
Yep. Okay, so it's okay. It's all right for our conversation to have every analogy not line up perfectly. So that's a really good point that you bring up.
Well, and it would be like if there was new technology. Like, if there was something that was new and you kind of thought that it was cutting edge and you wanted to try it, but you know that it's going to be obsolete in a year or two, then you do lease it so that you get the newer model.
Yes. Yes. Good point. Good point. All right.
My daughter's trying to figure, I did the air quotes, which nobody can see. And my daughter's trying to figure out how air quotes works. And so she'll like just do air quotes around random words sometimes. And it doesn't matter.
Well, she might have some good advice for you, Mom. Buy it with air quotes. Well, keep me abreast of your decision. I've certainly kept you abreast of my decisions. I think you know as much about my energy curtain as I do, and perhaps I'll learn more about the database project.
For sure. Yeah. And if our listeners have similar topics, please email us. Let us know what you're working on and what kind of big decisions you're making and how you're thinking through it. We'd love to hear how other people are working through the same types of things.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Grower and the Economist. If you enjoyed the episode, please rate it wherever you listen to podcasts. It helps us get discovered by new listeners. If you have questions, concerns, or would like to suggest a podcast topic, please email me at michelle@strategerm.com. I love hearing from you. Until next time.